Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. You guys can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghoststories. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who was the little boy wandering around a house if it wasn't the little boy who lived there?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can also email your audio file if you want to send that to me, Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. Please, if you like our show, become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the full archive of episodes, ebook, audiobook. It's all there for you. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. Hello.
Hi, Tony. You know, I think I've been doing this show a little too long because I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
So a minute ago, I had to let my dog out, you know?
Yeah.
So I let my dog out and then I go to the door. He's not there. And then he'd kind of gone to another gate that was shut.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he's blind. So kind of, he's pretty blind. So he can't see. So I go out there to get him and I hear these voices and I'm like, voices. Like, I'm like, who is talking? And then the first thing I thought of was ghosts. And then I was like, it could be my neighbors.
More likely ghosts than the neighbors, though.
Isn't that funny? Because I'm like, is you and I always talk about ghosts. And then I hear voices when I wasn't expecting it. And then I assume they're disembodied.
Sure. Why not?
You know, that I went there before. I was like, my neighbors, I mean.
You listen to the show too much or do the show too much, it makes the abnormal normal.
Right. I just went immediately to the ghost, but, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody gets it that's listening.
Exactly.
It's not like they haven't done it.
No.
And then, is that a ghost? Oh, no, it's my neighbor.
So you got to pull yourself back from and go, oh, wait a second. Let's think about possible logical options. And like, oh, okay. But then, yeah. But it's easier to jump to the conclusion. It really is.
And it's like my dog isn't spooked because he can't hear it anyway.
Yeah. There was something outside the other night when I was coming back from the office, and I don't know what the hell it was, but it was a weird sound.
Now, you live out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I do. I mean, but sometimes my dogs make weird sounds. The two Great Pyrenees, the other day, they were, you know, playing with each other and kind of, you know, wrestling around. Not in a sexual way, just wrestling like dogs do. And it wasn't a bark. It wasn't a growl. It was just kind of like a weird, it reminded me of a cat type whine. You know how your cat does those weird noises.
They call it yowling. It sounds like yowl.
Yeah. It's like the dogs were doing that, but in a kind of, they're big dogs. So they got kind of more of a bassy tone to it. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I'm looking, they're just playing, they're like, but it was even less growly than that. It was more like solid tones. And it was just like, you're weird.
Well, it's just weird, like, when my cat first started making this noise, because he's going to be 20 this summer, and, like, he'd never made that noise before until the last cut, maybe a year and a half to 2 years ago. And the first time I was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a demon. Well, because it doesn't sound like a cat.
Animals can make so many weird noises that are not necessarily what everyone, demons, you know, thinks of them as, you know, from the, you know, spin the farmer's wheel thing. But it is weird if you're out in nature and you're hearing them make an abnormal sound from what you're used to expecting. That's where I think sometimes you get the, I heard a baby crying in the woods or things like that. Not all the time, but I do think that there's many cases where it's simply an animal that's making a noise that you're not used to. Like, raccoons can easily sound like children crying, and it's creepy as shit, especially when you look up at the trees and it sounds like there's children crying high in the branches of the oak.
I didn't know that.
It's weird. And yeah, I mean, but it's like, it's just raccoons. You shine a big flashlight up there and all of a sudden you see like 30 eyes looking back at you. But
okay, now that's creepy too. I hear a child crying in the tree. Oh my God.
And all these eyes.
30 eyes looking at me. But when you reflect them.
But you see enough of the raccoon to recognize, oh, that's a raccoon, not a child.
I wouldn't. I would think it was some kind of demon life up there that sounds like a child.
You know, anything is possible. It really is. Anything is possible today. So who knows? Demon children climbing trees. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. First letter says, thank you for this outlet. I feel less crazy. One of my first memories is around 3.5 years old. I was at a family's friend's house when I dropped the ball down the stairs to their basement. I walked down and remembered seeing a little boy standing in the middle of the basement near the ball. He said, hi. All I remember was being confused and running upstairs to ask my mom who the little boy was. Let's just say this was the beginning of an exceptionally long childhood of not being believed when I saw or experienced something. I've had many stories, but I'll focus on one house for the sake of the reader. My family moved into a new home in Riverside County, California. Even though this house was new, there was always something off about it. In the beginning, when I was at home babysitting my brother, I'd see dark shadows and our dogs would bark or growl ferociously at an empty hallway. As time went on, things got progressively worse. When I was 15, I was folding laundry after school for 3 straight days. First 2 nights, I kept seeing what seemed like my little brother walking into the bedroom, which shared a wall with my own. I'd call to him, asking him to take his now folded laundry, but no response would come. I'd investigate his bedroom and no one would be there. Suspecting he was playing a game, the third night came and I was ready to catch him. Surely enough, after waiting, I saw a figure out of the corner of my eye run into his bedroom. Gotcha, I yelled. Rounding the corner, his room was dark, empty, and quiet. Suddenly, his closet door slammed shut, and I sprinted out to the living room where my brother was watching TV. My mom said she had not left her side. Same year, I'm out in the hot tub at night. There's a super moon and no clouds, so it was not very dark. Looking to my left, about 10 feet away, I see something I've always had a hard time explaining. Floating about 6 feet above the privacy fence was this deeper than black ink mass that was mist-like in texture. Its form was horizontally oval, and it wavered up and down. 4 foot by 2 feet it is. I smacked my face, pinched myself, splashed my face with water, and it was still there. So I got out of the hot tub, mesmerized and eager for another explanation. It was solid and dark against the mild night sky, 5 feet away. It flew out full force at me, which scared the shit out of me. To this day, it's one of the most terrifying experiences I have ever had. So a couple things happening in that story. Thoughts?
Well, number one, the folding laundry for 3 straight days. That is horrible.
Yes.
Like, you would start seeing shit just because you're folding laundry for that long. Anyway, you know, and that weird, massy, dark, I don't know what that is. Like, I don't have a theory on that.
No.
But I do, like, with the children, I definitely think, you know, especially when you're really young and it's like, you know, there's a boy down there. What was he doing down there? Or when you chase your brother into his room and then there's nobody there, but he's out in the living room, like, obviously, there's things that you can see that other people can't.
And especially when those moments are moments where you're not thinking anything is paranormal
right.
While it's happening. It's after the moment is complete that you're like, well, maybe that was something.
Well, yeah, because you're pissed because your brother won't take his damn laundry.
Yep. And you're curious of who the kid is in the basement.
Yeah. So I always find those stories really interesting. It's the ones when it's not like, oh, this house is giving me the creeps, and then I just happen to see something. It's when you're doing laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, help me out. Carry your own laundry to your bedroom. You just walked by.
Those are the creepiest ones.
What do you think the weird, dark, like that thing was?
I don't know. I mean, that's... I think there's things that are kind of like orbs that are out there that can actually be seen because they're there. You know, as opposed to like a lot of light refractions on cameras. So, I mean, I don't know if it's something like that, just some, I don't know. It's hard to know what that would be. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I just don't know.
There's so many things that get brought up on the show of, you know, weird anomalies that people see. And sometimes it's just, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I don't even know what to begin guessing. You know, are we talking something alienish? Are we talking something ghostly? I mean, you could go, and depending on...
I guess, too, when we haven't seen it, it's kind of hard to go, oh, this is what it is. It's an ectoplasm.
Exactly. That's my favorite on the Grave Talks when I'm talking about stuff and people start getting really technical. Because it's like, I've been doing this for so long and I do not talk in any sort of technical terms. So I'm always just kind of like, I don't know what you'd call this. You're like, oh, it's a ecto blah 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 blah. Oh, okay, great. I've already forgotten what that was. And they're just trying to be nice, and that's just how so many people communicate. But I don't. I like it, it's like names to me, where people's names, because in one ear, out the other. No matter how much I sit there and I try to do exercises to remember people's names, my brain does not absorb it. I have to like know them or talk to them for a long period of time before I really grasp it. It's especially if there's a lot of people around. I just brain doesn't stick at all. Back to the conversation in a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, BetterHelp. If there is something interfering with your happiness, preventing you from achieving your goals, then you really should look at getting some help. And there's ways of doing that. There's no shame in that. BetterHelp is a great way to kind of get yourself mentally back on track. And that's an important thing. It truly is. We all have times like that where we're just kind of like, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I'm not quite where I want to be. And you no longer have to be victim to your circumstance of where you're at physically to get help. Yeah. Therapy. So there's so many places where there's just not much access, or it's too expensive, or there's just not good therapists around. There's therapy deserts all over the country where it doesn't exist. BetterHelp has completely changed the game when it comes to this. You can start communicating in under 48 hours when you get matched with your own licensed professional therapist. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may or may not be locally available in many areas. A service is available for you guys, like I said, worldwide. You log into your account anytime, send a message to your counselor, get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you'll never have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room like traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, as do I. Visit their website and read their testimonials. They are posted daily. In fact, here's some of them right now from the things that folks are saying. I've had therapists in the past who were too interested in agreeing with me. Reggie listens to what I actually need and challenges me when it makes sense. That's one of the reviews. There are thousands of them that you can check out for yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews. Visit betterhelp.com/ghost stories. That's Better H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Real Ghost Stories listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/ghost stories. 855-853-4802. Our phone number. Let's go to the next letter. It says, this was a true ghost experience I had when I was a teenager. We just moved to a new apartment not far from my old one, which was just across the yard. From my bedroom window, I could see the building I lived in, the hallway, and the apartments. About a month living in the new apartment, around 3 a.m, I heard this curdling scream of a woman who's screaming as if she were running for her life from a killer. I could hear her heels on the floor running, so I got up so quickly, looked out the window, and nothing. Absolute silence. So I'm thinking, man, I must have been dreaming. As soon as I got back into bed, I heard it again. So I got up quickly and ran to my window. And again, nothing. That's weird. I know others would have opened their door to see what's going on, and no one opened their door. Everyone was asleep. I stayed at my window for like a good 30 minutes or so and nothing. So I go back to bed and I hear it again. By this point, I'm scared. So I put my portable CD player on, put headphones on so I don't hear the lady screaming. I end up falling back asleep. I wake up and have breakfast with my mom and ask her if she heard a lady screaming. She said no. Now, mind you, my mom is the lightest sleeper. You could drop a pin and she would wake up. She asked me if I dreamt it all. I told her no, it wasn't a dream. It was real. And I knew it was real because I pinched myself and it hurt. Well, she didn't believe me. Freaked me out. Never heard the lady scream again, but it was so weird and creepy. I also had another experience in the apartment complex one night. Around 1 in the morning, I was up, couldn't go back to sleep. My dog asked to go outside, so I usually opened the front door to let her out while I stayed by the door. Well, I was waiting no longer than 5 minutes when I look at the door and there was a little boy looking at me. I screamed so fast and shut the door from fright that I completely forgot about my dog. I opened the door and he was gone. I called my dog and she came up the steps and went inside. I went back outside to see if the little boy was around and nothing. Not a soul in sight. Everybody was sleeping. No one was out. Very few cars passing by. Mind you, it was 1 a.m. I do remember what the boy looked like, even though it was quick. He looked fairly dirty in clothing that was not worn in 2002. I never saw the little boy ever again, but I always wonder what that encounter was all about.
Woo, that one's creepy.
Yeah.
You know, though, I don't know, like, I'm the type of person who would be like, oh my God, there's a child. He needs some help. You shouldn't be out here in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would kind of kick in a little bit.
You got to check to see if the eyes are black.
That, yeah. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, honey. I'd call 911, but look at your eyes. If you want, I can call 911, but you got to stay outside.
Yeah. And here, hold this crucifix.
Yeah, because that will help me feel better about all of this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's weird. And it's also weird, like the person screaming thing, because you're right. Like, if you hear somebody screaming, like, you're waiting for the sirens. It's like, where are the other people? Especially if you're living in apartments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when people go outside to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
That would be really weird. Because I've done that before. I'm like peeking out my window at night. Like, what was that?
Sure.
You know, we've all done that. And especially if you hear someone screaming, like someone's being beat or something.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, like, but they didn't call 911, but they would have been young. Because it was like the next morning talking to mom.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's like, it seems like part of, I don't know. You almost have to wonder if you felt something different, because if you heard someone screaming and nobody was helping, it's like, mom, somebody's out there screaming. We have to call the police.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you just have your human instincts of, you know, what to do. And then once you kind of realize, wait a second, you know,
but
if you do.
Of those cases, the instinct wasn't like that. The instinct was safety. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like something else is going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
It makes you think something else was going on.
It does. Thank you for sharing that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, my name is Mark, and I just, first-time listener, and I just got done listening to your story about the girl who would never touch a Ouija board again. And the gal that was with you said something that was interesting. She said that people who would commit suicide, she doesn't think that they would, you know, be left in a state of torture or something like to that matter. Well, I have a story that I think would beg to differ that statement. I was a missionary for a church that I used to belong to, one of the members they had, it was his brother-in-law. His wife's brother was a younger guy. He was into rock and roll, but he was also into drugs. And apparently, one night they came home and there was satanic music playing really, really loud. And they were knocking on the door, and he didn't open, and then all of a sudden, you know, they finally get the door open, and he hung himself. And, you know, he overdosed with drugs and pills and things like that. And but they were really taken back with the satanic music, and they found all these different satanic marks and things in journals that... he was speaking, or he was writing in a weird language, and so they called us one night, that night, said, hey, can you come over and, you know, just kind of help us out, you know, maybe bless the house. And so we went, and we said a little prayer, and then we left, and we went back home. Well, a couple days later, we got a phone call from them again, and he said, hey, we think that our house is haunted. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. He's like, we're hearing satanic music come from the room where my brother-in-law died, and there's nothing in there, and things are moving around, the doors are slamming, and it feels like he is angry. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I had no idea what to do, so I called up the mission president, and I said, President, this is the story. And he said, okay, Elder, I'm going to give you keys to perform an exorcism. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. He's like, no, those are real. And I was like, okay. And so he told me what to do, and I said this special prayer. And so we went over to the house, and I remember walking inside of the house and just feeling evil. And I never really felt that in my life. And so we walk in, and then as soon as we open the door, I just felt this nasty, evil presence, and it scared the living crap out of me. And so I did what my mission president told me, and as soon as I ended the prayer, I kid you not, a gust of wind went by all of us out the door, and whatever was in that house left. So, you know, take it, I don't know if he was angry because he was, you know, how he died. I don't know if he was angry at life, and that's why he was staying there in that state of torture. But, hey, I love you guys' first podcast, and I'm going to be hopefully a lifelong listener.
Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. I'd be curious to know what does that sound like, the music, the things like that, that they were saying they were hearing.
That I don't know, but I do have a twist on this.
Yeah.
Another possibility. Because my guess is I was the one who was talking about that. I don't know. Be me or Jen. But to me, if someone committed suicide, he's listening to satanic music. Obviously, it's the guy mm-hmm. who was haunting the place.
Yeah.
Could it all have... And I don't even... I'm with you. I don't totally know what you mean by satanic music. But maybe like... some kind of metal music or something. I don't know. But could the whole thing have been why he committed suicide? Was that something kind of took over him?
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't necessarily him in the house haunting it. There was something darker that caused him to do what he did.
Sure. And that's kind of what I was thinking about too. Like more so... something pulled him into a very dark, depressive state and, you know, kind of led to his demise, you know, beyond, you know, really his control. And is that energy still just kind of sitting there festering and, you know, waiting to find its next victim or whatever it's doing? Is it just, you know, there? You know?
Now, all that said, how damn weird. Like, I don't know if he was Mormon because he was talking about Elder and being... Mm-hmm. a missionary. But to call someone for help and they're like, you're going to have to do the exorcism. I'd be like, I gotta what? I don't think I'm qualified. I haven't taken that class yet. You know, that would freak me out. If somebody told me, you know, I don't even know, like, I would just feel like I am not qualified.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how much faith you have, that would be a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
to put on somebody.
Someone who's not ever done that before is not qualified to do that. Now, to say that, you know, something happened in this case and maybe there was an effect, great. But someone who has no experience in that really has no business diving into that, because
that would scare me.
It could go bad very fast, and it could not be a good thing. So it's not. There's so many people out there today that are like, "Oh, I'm a, you know, I'm a demonologist. I'm this or that." Some legitimately have a lot of experience and are. Many are not, and it's you can't just give yourself the name. Although I guess that seems to be what a lot of people do.
But it sounds like it did, you know, he did what he was mm-hmm. supposed to. They felt something kind of move past them. And, you know, I think that's amazing.
I found the definition here of satanic music. Let's take a listen and see what it
says. Oh, great. Now, then I got to go to bed, and this is going to be all night long in my head.
This is going to be pretty interesting. Okay, a little beat to it.
Surprising. It sounds like
an 80s synthesizer of some sort. Right? It's kind of creepy. Let's hear if we hear any demon voices or anything in this. So far, nothing. Could there be an EVP coming up? I wonder if we're going to hear one right about here. Or not. Oh, there it is. Oh, my God. You hear that howling? I wonder what that is. There it is again. I'm very confused. I think that's a...
But if you heard that nonstop, then it would become demonic very easily.
I think it's a Yamobi there. It's a new type of demon that you have to look out for. Featuring Michael McDonald.
There's so many 80s songs you could have sang to that too. Like, it would have fit any number of Whitney Houston songs.
Michael Bolton, Whitney Houston.
Right.
Because the intro to like any 80s and most of the 90s AC songs started with some sort of beat or guitar. Then everybody's going, or some variation of that. And then hit the, you know, big kind of dramatic lyric hit. And, I kind of miss that music. Nobody does that anymore.
But now we know what demonic music sounds like.
We're good
Thank
to know.
You.
We
Thank you.
Good to go. Hey, Yamo be there. What do I say? 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this caller. Hi, it's your ghost story.
Well, we go. This is Emily H. calling from California. Again, it's been a while since I've called. I wanted to tell a story today about the time my husband and I went to the historic Carey House Hotel in Placerville, California. It has a really dark past. It's too crazy to even go into all the way. So I'll let whoever's interested look that up. But, you know, we went on this tour. There was a tour that was going around that they do a lot. It's pretty well known about it if you look it up. It's called Hangtown Tour, like it's a walking tour. We just did the one with the hotel instead of going, because they take you to a haunted coffee shop and stuff as well. We just did the hotel, and while we were there, they were using the voice box with all the static and stuff, and the voices come across. And we're in the most haunted room at the hotel, in the dark, sitting in the dark, all the group, and all of a sudden, like, we hear there's all this stuff coming across. And it says, I can't remember what the swear word that came across was, if it was like fuck or shit or something. It said something derogatory. And like the tour leader was like, hey, there's women here. You don't talk like that in front of women. And the next thing that we hear is a clear woman's voice from the box saying, to each our own, sir. It was just, I'm getting chills right now, even thinking about it. It was crazy. But it was just, the energy in that room was so intense. It was just, you know, it was, I don't know if it's just a suggestion or that we knew we were in a haunted room. But hearing that snarkiness come out of the ghost, the voice box thing was insane. And it was definitely worth the experience going there. And like anybody who's in that area, definitely I'd say, hey, go. The group leaders are awesome and they know so much. And like I said, it's just, you know, it was a very interesting feeling place. That wasn't the only thing. There was also somebody they called a whistler that kept coming across. And I think it was before anybody even had been told about that. They said, I'm hearing whistling. And the leader was like, oh my God, it's him. So, and he told us about like the guy that used to stay there that they call the whistler. They hear the actually, because they had headphones on, so we didn't all get to hear it. But the woman who was wearing the headset could hear the whistling coming across on the, it was just from the voice box. It was crazy. I was just like, oh, and you know, unless she was a plant or something from the, in the group, I don't know how, you know, she would know that to tell us she's hearing whistling, but it was a pretty intense experience. Yeah. So thank you for playing my story. I look forward to hearing it on the show. I'm a huge fan. You know, I'm excited because I'm actually getting almost caught up now. I listen to you guys like for hours all day while I'm working on homework because I'm in my master's program, working to be a therapist. So thank you for the entertainment and the laughs. It's been really helpful during this crazy time. I appreciate you guys a lot. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. And it's always interesting to hear what someone's doing while listening to us. She'll have a lot of insights on ghost stories when she becomes a therapist.
I think it will help her, actually.
I do, too.
I think, you know, those ghost tours, because I've done them several.
Yeah.
Not that one. That one sounded pretty cool. And those ghost box things, I don't want to. I have this weird feeling about them. I don't want to hear it. Because you were talking about getting one. Mm. I'm like, I don't want to know.
Okay.
I don't want you playing with it around me.
It's coming.
But anyway, but no, you're going to like set me up sometime when I'm visiting. I know it. But anyways.
It's going to turn it. Yeah, you want the radio on in your room, Carol? Okay.
It's like, oh, excuse me. That was the ghost box. What was I thinking? But those things kind of freak me out. But I also know that like I have kind of gotten wrapped up in the feeling of the ghost tour.
Uh-huh.
That I never really did experience anything. But like, as we were talking about it in a couple episodes ago, because you get back on the bus or however you're doing it, if you're walking place to place or on a bus, and then everybody's like, oh my God. And they're like, I got orbs and I got this. And they're all talking about experiences they had. And you're like, oh my God, you know,
you're crazy.
Something's going on. And you just get wrapped up in the feeling of it. It's kind of, so even if there isn't anything there, you sure feel like you experienced something.
It's a hysteria thing. It's a groupthink thing. And the thing is, I mean, there's some tours where that probably does happen and it's legitimate. But the some ones I've been on, I
haven't been on one. But you could tell by her voice. Like, yeah. It was real thing. It wasn't like she wasn't buying it. It was, you know... Go ahead.
And some of them, you know, like I said, some I think you can get stuff, but I don't like to be the party pooper on those sort of things because half the time it's like they're taking a picture by a light pole at night. And of course, there's a light refraction and a specific angle that you're taking it from. And then everybody's like, oh, did you see an orb? I got this orb. And they're all showing the pictures of the orb. And it's like, no, you didn't. It's a light refraction. But it's like it'll ruin the experience for everybody. Sometimes I kind of wish I was less informed on the topic, too, because then I could enjoy those moments more as kind of like a child of just being like, yeah, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
But I love like, because it's really, I mean, because you go when you sign up for a ghost tour, you're kind of signing up for what she experienced.
Yeah.
Which makes it really fun.
Which is neat. Yeah.
And scary and all the things that you wanted from it.
And that's
and fun. She's at a super haunted place anyway.
And
they had a haunted coffee shop.
And that's fun. I mean, I just like going. I love more so the atmosphere of being in the dark in kind of creepy places. That's why I like going and checking those out. Plus, the history is also usually really interesting on a lot of ghost tours, depending on what town and you're in.
Primarily, most of the ghost tours I've been on was more of a history. There was a lot of ghost talk, but the history part of it was what I really took away. Like, I didn't realize that, you know, so Carrie Nation went on to do this or that or the other thing. I'm like, what? I thought she just chopped up bars.
Yeah.
And it's just, so it's really interesting. Some things that you pick up on those tours. I think they're fascinating.
It is. It's really fun. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories and get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, EPP episodes, archive. It's all there. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Follow Carol on Instagram @CarolHughes. Follow me @TonyBruski, BRUESKI, on Insta and TikTok. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.